It is Friday, truly the first day of the very cold weekend. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the Mary Jones Show. This is the show where friends celebrate life, living, and laughter. And yes, we are expecting some snow tomorrow. We'll be speaking with our friend and meteorologist Darren Sweeney from NBC Connecticut in the next hour. So he will share the latest update and forecast with you on the snow tomorrow. But we're going to kick the show off right now. Krista, who normally joins us on the beginning of every show on Friday, is going to be with us at 3:20. But we are going to talk right now about a very important issue that just seems to be growing in numbers, unfortunately, talking about people across the country who are homeless and this time of year can't even imagine. Welcome to the show, a gentleman who has spent the last 25 years working with folks who are homeless. He's the author of a few books on the subject. He is currently regional manager up in Massachusetts with Elliott CHS Homeless Services. It's so nice to say hello to Jay Levy. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Mary. Pleasure to be here today.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time and certainly all that you have done over the 25 years for homeless folks. Firstly, am I correct when I say that the numbers just keep rising?
Well, actually, the numbers are pretty mixed. So it depends what group of homeless folks you talk about. When my first book, Homeless Narratives and Pretreatment Pathways, got published in 2010, there was about 643,000 homeless folks. That's based on a HUD point-in-time count that's done on a yearly basis. And that means just on that single night in late January, they found that there were 643,000. The latest homeless count that was done in 2013, around the same date, last week in January, found that there was about 610,000 folks who are homeless. And then when you break it down into subcategories, you can see where there's been progress. Like with veterans, that number has been going down. It's down 24% since 2009. Chronic homelessness, the long-term folks that are out there and homeless, and the unsheltered folks that are out there and homeless, not seeking shelter, not trusting shelter, being barred from shelters, whatever the reasons are, those folks, those numbers are down quite a bit, about 25 or 23% since 2007. So there's been some progress. When you look at family homelessness, that's gone up in some regions, and part of it has a lot to do with the economy. Obviously, there's an economic engine that's behind homelessness and the lack of affordable housing. So those tend to be the main economic causes. But when you strip down things into individual homelessness and specifically long-term homelessness, you get into other things such as mental illness, substance abuse, major medical issues, and so on.
Oh, absolutely. It's very complex, obviously. Thank you for running those numbers by us, by the way. That's very helpful to have that snapshot. I know, Jay, that you have written about and talked about that part of the solution, in your opinion, I would love to ask you to elaborate a bit, part of the solution is outreach coupled with affordable housing programs as opposed to simply warehousing folks in shelters. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. For so many years, it's really been a model of sort of the shelters off somewhere, maybe in some not very good part of town, and the services would be completely, you know, somewhere else. And a lot of times those connections weren't being made between the people who were homeless and in need, that kind of shelter population being in a different area and disconnected. And in particular, affordable housing resources were not directly connected to outreach workers or to shelter staff. So this idea of trying to alleviate homelessness, obviously you need an affordable housing solution. But then you have to kind of look at, and what's very different than just warehousing, is to have a whole system that's basically a triage model. As people come into the shelter or they're on the streets, is their outreach being done, and are they actively assessing why the person is homeless, what needs to be in place for them to be successfully housed, how to stabilize a person once they're in housing so they don't end up homeless again. I mean, we know from the numbers, there's been a lot of studies on this, one by Dennis Culhane. He did this in Philadelphia, and he did this in New York City area, and he found that 80% of the people that are homeless are short-term homeless, and it's more kind of economically driven, and it's more about jobs and how do you rapid rehouse and get the proper supports going for those folks. But for people who are among the long-term homeless, that's where you get the higher risk of death, the financial issues that go into the use of healthcare services, high utilization of that, people ending up in emergency rooms, inpatient, you know, a lot of expense and not much results unless we go to a real outreach and housing model. The big model across the country that's been successful is Housing First.
And so for the people, speaking with a homelessness expert, he's been dedicating the last 25 years of his life working in this field, writing about it, Jay Levy from Massachusetts. So of the chronic, if we can talk about that category, Jay, would it be safe or accurate to say that the majority of them fall into the category of having mental health issues, alcohol issues, drug issues?
Yes, a very high number of the people that are chronically homeless fall into that. We're probably looking at, you know, 80% or more of the folks that fall under, you know, being homeless for that long of a period of time. And it's pretty serious in terms of, you know, what we're really looking at is there's a big chunk of folks out there with major disabilities. Many of them are unable to work, and a very high percentage of them are trimorbid, meaning they have an addiction issue along with a major mental illness and a major medical condition. And there's been studies done. There was a study done by Dr. James O'Connell and Dr. Wang back in 1998 where it showed that there were certain high-risk categories that meant people were very likely to die at a young age. And those categories included people over 60 years of age who are unsheltered, living outside for 6 months or more, people with a history of frostbite, hypothermia, trench foot, living outside for 6 months or more, at high risk of death, people going to emergency rooms, three visits over the prior 3 months, or three hospitalizations, or more than three emergency room visits in a year, and living outside 6 months or more, were at high risk of death. Diagnosis of HIV, AIDS, liver, renal disease, put all those folks, while unsheltered, very high risk of death, and a triple diagnosis, as I started with, of a mental illness, substance abuse, and a medical condition. Over a five-year period of time, 40% of those people in those categories died, and the average age of death was 47 years old. So, you know, it's very important that we come up with good outreach programs and some affordable outreach housing options with support that can help these people to stay housed and then develop the through the outreach pathways toward treatment. The old model was treatment first. People had to agree to treatment, and then you can eventually get housed. And for a lot of these folks, that wasn't working, which was why they were ending up unsheltered and, frankly, dying or running up huge medical costs, going inpatient and in emergency rooms.
Wow. You very articulately paint a accurate picture of this, Jay. Thank you for that. Do you think that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you and I could be having this conversation and you would be saying very similar things?
Well, unfortunately, that's been the case. While at the same time, we've seen, like I said, a reduction in chronic homelessness, a reduction in the unsheltered numbers, and that's because we have had over the past, let's say, 3 to 4 years, a very focused approach across the country, some of it through HUD dollars, some of it through state dollars. So it is different from state to state how much money is going toward this particular issue. But there's been an increase in Housing First programs. We've shown with veterans through the VASH program, which is the Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing Initiative, a lot of money has gone toward that. That's brought in a whole lot of affordable housing vouchers that can be totally matched well with veterans in need, and then that comes also with a support service. And so it's really that match of affordable housing, which supports services, that has led to a deduction in veteran homelessness by 25%. So I think, will the funding continue the way it's been? That's where I would get very concerned. I think, if anything, as you know, you hear about the budget deals in Congress and the sequester and all this other stuff. My own program was hit with a $100,000 cut, and we do outreach due to the last sequester that happened last year. So, you know, it's hard to feel positive that enough money and enough resources and services are going to continue to be available for these folks that are at risk.
Jay, we need to wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, your latest book is Pre-Treatment Guide for Homeless Outreach and Housing First. Is that correct?
That's correct, and it focuses on couples, youth, and unaccompanied adults.
And your website, which I put a link to on ours this morning, jslevy.com. Is that the correct one, Jay?
Yes, it's jayslevy.com.
And is that the best place for folks to get your books? And I know there's more than one.
Yes, well, the books are available, you know, through Amazon, through Barnes & Noble. You can order it in any bookshop, major distributor, you know, handles it. But you can go to my website, learn all about the books, and decide what you want to do, and you could order it right there if you'd like.
So they're wonderful. Jay, thank you so much. Have a happy holiday season, and thank you so much for all that you do.
Well, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Thank you. Let's check in with the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal report.